Welcome to Skype Fellowship. So would someone like to open up the word of prayer? Whoever opens up the word of prayer, you can begin to share. And then whoever God inspires you to ask next from the list, just ask them and they can share. So you can share whatever you want, testimonies, if there's a teaching or something that's going on in your life, you're inspired to share, just share away. So someone begin.
All right, I will. Heavenly Father God, I just thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, and your mercy, Father, how you have extended to us something that we could not even begin to fathom in our own minds, salvation. Thank you, Father, for the greatness of your mercy towards us every moment of every day, God, and how your love is unending and unconditional. And thank you, Father, for our Savior. Thank you, Father, for knowing from the beginning of time that there would be one that would hold forth your word, stand on your word, be forged ahead and never waver from your word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for what it took to give up that hand so that you could gain men. Thank you, Father, that we live from a point in a place of victory now because of his accomplished work, God. Thank you, Father, that you've set him on high and that you've set us with him, Father, that you have exalted him above all men. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your great love. Thank you that we just accept it wholeheartedly every moment of every day, the goodness of your love towards us. Thank you, God. You are such a great God. You are so wonderful to us. Thank you, Father, for this fellowship, for every individual here. Thank you, Father, for their victory, Father, in whatever care or concern that they might have, that we could cast it towards you, Father. Thank you for your word saying that we need not have any anxiety about anything, Father, that with all prayer and supplication, we just give it to you, Father. We just guard our hearts. Thank you, Father, that we guard it with your word. Your word is of peace. Thank you, Father, that every good and perfect gift is from you, Father. Thank you for the quiet and peaceful life that we have and for a great health, Father, that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of healing. Thank you, God, that we can give that away and receive it ourselves, Father. Thank you, Father, that everything that we have is so graciously given from you, Father. And there's nothing that we have that does not belong to you. And so, Father, we give to you all of our praises this moment, Father, and throughout this fellowship, we give you praise and glory for all you have done for us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
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 We are... wait, hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. I knew I was going to have to do this running to get my phone. It was plugged up. But anyway, first of all, I have to start out by saying that I had my sister here, my older sister. She's only 13 months older than me, but, you know, she's still the first one. Anyway, she and I, she had never been to Texas before, and she got to come here and visit with me for 2 weeks. She came on June the 12th, and then on the 15th of June, we went to my daughter's house, and I don't know how many of you know Dave and Allison Washburn, but Dave and Allison Washburn live in Cordova, which is like 15 minutes from where my daughter lives. Well, Candace and I lived in Memphis for 14 years, so Dave and Allison Washburn are family to us, because, yeah, we just, you know, I lived in the same apartment complex as Allison when she was, well, she didn't live there, but she was the manager for the apartment complex that I lived in. We had fellowship there, and you know, so, yeah, they're family. That's my family. Dave and Allison, all the wonderful believers of Memphis, Tennessee, Angel Jackson and her husband, and their families. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Anyway, so knowing that, I had to take my daughter, my sister, to meet Dave and Allison, because the last time that she visited with me, we were in Memphis, but he did not meet Dave and Allison at that time. So I took her over to Dave and Allison's house that Sunday, and we sat around, and it was that Monday. So we sat around and talked, and we had a great time, fellowshipping with each other, and Dave was sharing his heart, sharing the word, and it was just great. So we got up to leave. I think we'd been there for a couple hours, and we got up to leave, and when we started to walk out, Allison stops my sister, and she says, "I noticed when you came in here, you have a limp." And she said, she told her, "Yes, I had, when I was born, I had cerebral palsy. And this cerebral palsy, it was, mild as it may have been, it caused her to have a limp, and one of her legs did not grow out like the other one did. During her lifetime, she had a number of surgeries which were intended to stretch her leg down so that she would come off of her toes. She was on her left foot. Her foot did not grow down, so she had this surgery. I think she was like 16 or 17 years old, and she had this surgery, and she was in a body cast, and it worked somewhat, but not really, and it was very painful. And so she was telling her all of this, and so Allison says, "Well, would you like for me to minister to you?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "Okay." She was like, "We're going to get this leg to grow out." And I'm like, "Okay." So we went, we sat down. She sat her down, told her to sit all the way back in this chair and hold her legs up. But she held her legs up, and her right foot extended past her left foot by about 3 inches.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so her right foot has extended past her left foot about 3 inches. So we're just looking at it, So you can tell, this is not just a little bit. Sometimes people are just off kilter a little bit, and you just have to fix their pelvis a little bit. Some chiropractic manipulations can fix those things, No, this wasn't like that. So she's sitting there, and she ministers to her. She prayed first. She said, "I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to minister." So she prayed first. So she's looking at the legs, and she goes, "Okay." She says, "Left leg, grow. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out and grow." And so it's just like that. And it just nothing. So she says, "Left leg, grow." Nothing. So we sat there for a few minutes, and she said, "Okay, right leg shorten." So nothing. She repeated it. She said, and she went back to, she said, "Okay." So the right leg wouldn't grow, the left leg wouldn't shorten. So she went back. She says, "Okay, left leg grow. Grow now. Grow now." I'm telling you guys, you could have knocked my happy ass on the ground. That foot moved. And I looked at Nina like she was doing something, but she didn't do anything. It just went soup. I'm like, "Okay, God, that was cool. That was really cool." I was like, "Don't get shocked. This is your expectation, is he's going to do what he says he's going to do." But I promise you, I'm sitting there going, "What?" The leg just moved. I saw it move, you guys. I saw it move.
Amen.
I've never seen it. It was like, "Thank you." She stood up. She was like, "Oh my God, my back doesn't hurt. I can't." Because all that time she's walking out, it's like, she says, I have to think about it, and and Allison was telling her, "Well, your feet are going to hit the ground, differently, so you're just going to have to practice walking differently because you got to get used to your feet being even. They are even to this day. Even. Both of her feet are even. That foot just zip route. I was like, wow, Father, that is awesome. That is so God. It was just so wonderful, you guys. And Nina was still talking about it when she left. All right, fast forward to this morning, last night. Last night we were having prayer. Me and Vicky and Marita Arita, she lives in Oregon. You know Marita?
Yeah, I know Marita Manita. She was at Stacy's, wasn't she, when we came?
Yeah.
When Kim come, yeah.
Yeah. So we pray every Wednesday night.
Wow.
And Drika and Vicky, Marita and myself, we all pray on Wednesday nights. So we were praying, and Drika was, you know, part of her prayer was, you know, that we just let God be God and let him do him and get out of the way.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cute, you know. So I went to bed last night. I woke up this morning. And, you know, I have decided that God to, I'm trying to figure out a way to put this. I decided that, you know, I'm going to do things with my, especially with my finances, to let God be God. Okay, because I've always been the Lord of my life as far as my finances are concerned. You know, I'm like, you know, I know I have to pay this and I know I have to pay that. And I basically have done sort of kind of well. I mean, it's well enough that I'm not in jail. So anyway, but it wasn't honoring God with my first substance. And so this last month, it was like, okay, just, I mean, it really was, it was one of those things where it was just like, I'm crying, trying to just do what God asked me to do. And I knew this was going to bring me, by my five senses, this did not look like it was a good idea. But I'm just like, okay, God, I'm just, you're God, I'm not. Yeah, it was all crying, you know, that tearful giver. No, I wasn't. I'm just going to say it. I was not. But, you know, in my heart, though, it's just like, I'm sick of being Lord in that area because I'm a child of the Most High God. A child of the Most High God doesn't just get by. That doesn't happen. That's, I mean, you know, you're a child of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. People are still finding diamonds in this world, in this earth. Seriously, I am a child of that God. So, yeah, no, I'm like sick of that. So anyway, I got up this morning, and I wanted to read, and I was like, Facebook? No, I do not want to do it. I do not want to look on Facebook. I'm going to go in here, I'm going to sit down and read, because I hate looking at Facebook sometimes. It really annoys me. But this morning, I got up, and I'm like, all right. So I looked at Facebook. The first thing on my news feed was my granddaughter, when she was 2 years old, bringing me a flower. There's a picture of her bringing me a flower. It was so cute. The next thing was this. I'm going to read it to you. If you have been going through hard times lately, I hope everybody's read this, just remember your answer and releases from God is coming. Your situation might look impossible, but it is not with God. When we put our trust in God and believe Him, then God goes to work on our behalf. For example, David faced impossible odds against Goliath, but he was moments away from victory. Elijah was surrounded by 400 false prophets, but the power of God was about to be revealed for everyone to see. Joseph was forgotten and left in prison, but he was just a dream away from his royal position. Can you imagine if David dropped his slingshot and ran? What if Elijah had backed down? What if Joseph had stopped dreaming? They didn't give up, and God gave them victory. Never give in or up. God is faithful and will bring you into victory.
Amen.
Lawrence, you had no idea the place where I was at when you wrote that. I'm like, this dude is about his Father's business. Praise God. Thank you. So I had this thought. I go to work out, and every time I make this decision about you know, honoring God with my first fruits and taking care of business the way He wants me to. Every time, the first place that this thing runs into me is where I have started taking care of myself and started taking care of my physical self, started working out. When I see progress, this is the first place that it attacks me, right here in my physical life. And I end up, you know, feeling all discouraged and don't want to go work out and none of this because I can't pay him, because I don't have the money. And I know I'm supposed to be with this person, this particular trainer. He's not some really huge trainer. He doesn't have a lot of people, but he is where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm supposed to be there. So I talked to him. I was thinking I needed to talk to him. I needed to tell him, you know, because one time he had told me, once before when I had made that decision, he told me, you know, just don't ever let money come between me and you. And I did. I just said, no, I can't do it. You know, I felt like I was cheating. I felt every guilty feeling you could feel. I ran away from him. I did. I ran away from him. But I knew it was still, that was where I was supposed to be. I knew it. I ran away from it anyway. But this time I was like, nope, I am not doing it. I am not. So I went in and I talked to him, and I'm going to tell you what he said. I told Mr. Gordon about my financial challenges. I told him that it seems that when I start to see progress in my workouts, something happens to screw it up. Usually has to do with money. I told him, I'm just going to let God be God. And then I told him, I don't have the money to pay for his services next month, and I would abide by his wishes. If I can't pay, I can't come, then I understand. He walked away from me. He looked at me. He walked away from me. And when he came back, he handed me a gift certificate made out to me for $162, which was for a month's training, and said, see how easy that was? I started to cry, but I didn't. I handed it right back to him and said, this is for July. God is on the throne. So he just took, you know, God is doing some things now, you guys. Hang in there, whatever you're doing, whatever's in front of you, don't give up. The challenges will be there, the distractions will be there. They'll be there, because I know, I'm sitting here looking at them in my face. There's still more things I have to do. There's, you know, I have never, and I'm just going to be honest with you guys, I haven't been in the negative in my checking account since I was 39 years old. That's how, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. I am in the negative. I have never been in the negative. I finally got my head out of my butt for a little while. And, you know, I had some things that I had to do, but, you know, somehow or another, you get tricked and all that stuff goes right back to where you started from. And it's like, okay, no, we have to stop this. And I just truly, I am letting God be God. It is as hard as you think it is, because you know, when you practice something long enough, when you have to stop and practice something different, it is just hard to change the habit. It's just a mind thing. And you know what? I'm getting my mind to be in control, subject to me. What I wanted to think instead of what, you know, the circumstances. The circumstances don't mean nothing. I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ was dead in the ground 3 days, 3 nights. If the circumstances aren't that bad, then I pretty much am okay, because God got him up from the dead. So there's really not a lot I should be really concerned about. I'm not dead. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share. God is on the throne. We are children of the Most High God. Do not despair. The Father is preparing things, and He will get you through this. The enemy might tell you this is the worst thing that you could ever do. He has never once told the truth. So you might want, you know, me, I'm at the place to shut the hell up. I am not trying to hear that. So anyway, Yeah, God bless you guys. I love you. Vita, I was thinking about you. You're on my heart. You're next.
Yay.
Hi, sister. Oh, wow. That was a wonderful sharing. It reminded me a little bit of what I shared last week while I was here about receiving from God. I'm still stuck on that thing called receiving, and I guess I'm stuck on that so much because I in my personal life have had a hard time with that, just receiving things from God. I'm the one that fix everything, right? Thanks for sharing that. And along those lines, I've been going to school. I don't know. I decided to go back to school, and Someone say something? Oh, okay. So I have this degree, and all the while I was going to school, my thing was this is a God thing, because I have no idea why I'm going. I just feel inspired to go, and I started in one direction. God ended up sending me in another direction, totally different from what I thought I would be doing. So I've finished my master and I've registered for my doctorate classes, but I've only taken one there. So, but I've been thinking, okay, what am I going to do with this? I don't even know. I know some things God is putting on my heart to do as far as working with married couples and things of that nature, and maybe even doing some writing in that area. But I don't know exactly how that looks. So I was just, been sitting here thinking, and I've been doing some work online that pays absolutely nothing, and it's really been a waste of my time because, have anybody ever felt like they needed something and didn't necessarily ask God if that was the best thing for their life, and they ended up getting it, and it's like, immediately, well, that's not from the Father, but how God don't necessarily, He can't override our freedom of will, okay? So we end up sometime in the soup, and He's so gracious, He gets us out of the soup, even though we ended up in the soup. So that's kind of what happened with this job, because my thing was, I was doing really, meeting my obligations and everything. I just felt like I needed more money, I guess, in my life, so I took on this job. And the job, actually, I don't see the benefits of that. I've only been more stressed, and a few other things. Is that Kim? I started realizing, okay, I started this job, but it wasn't really what I needed to be doing. It took away from a lot of my fellowship with the Father, my time spending in the Word, writing on the book that I with the things that He's given me in that area, and just a whole lot of other stuff. The list just started growing with things as to why I shouldn't be working on this job. So what I did is I decided, I'm not going to do this any longer, and I am going to resign. So my niece called me, and she told me about this lady that was looking for some contractors for in the area that I work in, which is kind of like social services, counseling, that kind of stuff. And so I went, I sent the application, they called me, and to fill out some more information, had to go through a bunch of background checks and all that stuff. So, but then I went and sit down with her to interview, And it was just really casual. It was like me coming over to your house having tea, you know, not like one of these stringent interviews that you would go on. And she said, well, I like to be upfront about the pay. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. She said, yeah. Right. She said, well, she said, the agency is a government agency. She said, well, they only pay for 30 minutes, you know, because what I'll be doing is going in, doing early intervention for babies 0 to 3 to help them stay within their natural environment and, you know, use their optimal potential within that natural environment. The way some people are starting to teach now is totally different than what they used to do, you know, teaching to a textbook or teaching to a test. Now they are using, which, you know, it makes so much sense, people's natural surroundings, everything, everyday life situations to make that a teaching. And, you know, kind of like God, he gives us trees and the air and all this stuff, and he teaches us about him through, you know, just by just observing and looking, you know, at, oh, okay, God made the trees, and, you know, and from the trees, if you plant this tree, you get this, and just different stuff. So they're using natural environments instead of sitting in a classroom teaching from a text. So I said, okay, well, let's talk about the money. She said, well, they're only going to pay you for 30 minutes. Even if you spend more time with them, they're going to only pay you for 30 minutes. And it's $75 for 30 minutes. I said, huh? I mean, I don't know what she saw in my face expression, but I was like, you know, get out of here. Are you freaking kidding me? $75 for 30 minutes? You know, I don't know if doctors make that much, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I said, she's teasing me, right?
She meant $7.50.
She said, it actually pays $135, but since I'm doing the billing and you're working up under me and she's going to train me and everything, I'll be paying you $75 for 30 minutes with the child.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, is this for real, for real, for real?
Where do I need to start?
This morning, I just got my certificate, and I am a certified service coordinator.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to do some online training, and it was challenging this last week doing that and stuff, but she said that's how they weed out people to make sure they want to do it, and but I got my certificate this morning. So, once again, you know, it's about, okay, God, I want to sit back, and I want to receive from you. I want to stop making up all this stuff that I say that you're doing that you're not actually doing, you know. I'm good at, God said, well, did God really say that, or is that something my mind is making up?
Yeah.
I can really do that big. I can put a lot of things on God, and I come back and I realize later, well, I don't know, did I really hear you on that, or I just jumped on it, yeah. And but, you know, it is so wonderful that we have a gracious Father that, just like with our kids, you know, when they do stuff, still, you know, they come back to us and we just love them and we encourage them and we build them up and we dust them off and, you know, we send them out there again to learn more, you know. And this walk with God is about learning every day, growing every day. And I used to cry when God would chastise me. I was like, oh, I'm always messing up. Oh, God, I'm trying to get this right. Now it's like, okay, Dad, okay, I'll change that. I'll do that. And it's like the more you're in his presence and spend time with him and be with God, it's like the chastisement of the Lord is not so grievous, right? It's not so bad. It's okay. You want to do it because you want to be better. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll change that. It's like a light comes on and it's an automatic, okay, I'll change that, Father. And so I don't know, 62 years of age, starting another job, but this is the best one so far as far as pay is concerned. And I have flexible hours. I mean, I can set my own schedule. I can go see babies as I set it up. So it's not like something where I have to sit at this desk all day long and raise my hand if I can go to the restroom. And, you know, then they tell you, no, don't, we'll go to the restroom, try to hold it till you break. It's like, yeah. I'm too old for that. I mean, really, they told me that on this job. Like, try and go to the restroom on your break. I'm like, you know, I'm 62 years old. I'm not going to sit up here and try to ask you if I can go to the bathroom when I have to go. God is good. And, you know, and it doesn't matter where we at, how old we are, or at what point we start to see different things. He's there to help us and take us on. Last year, not this past one that you guys was at, Laura's, the Appling Advance, but the one before that.
Okay.
I was hanging out with Kevin, and you know, he was. We went up to minister to people, but no one came to us, so we just started ministering to each other. Like, okay, this must be what God wants us to do. And it was really wonderful, you know, and some things that he was telling me that he was speaking things that God put on his heart. And one of the things was that I see you going back in age, not forward. I'm like, you know, why not? You know, why not go back in age? Why do I have to go forward? Why I can't go back with God? You know, like that eagle that is renewed in his strength, you know.
We
anything is possible with God. You know, he's the God of the possible and impossible, you know. So anything can happen with our Father. So why not set your mind and wrap your mind around that? Because it's the Spirit of God that lives in us that was what unites that stuff and make it comes to pass. So why not put my mind and say, oh, I'm 62, I'm getting older, I can't go to school, I can't learn anymore, I can't do this. Why not say, I'm getting younger, I am actually going back, you know?
Yeah.
I'm serious. Inside of me, I feel like 22.
Yeah, I'm me.
I mean, there's a fire that's burning, you know. I'm doing now is visualizing that same inside feeling to manifest through my physical body, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that's where it starts, in our minds, so that it gets down in our hearts, you know, to the point of faith, to the point of believing. It starts in that mind and having that, like we talked last week, having that vision, building that vision in our heart, you know, because nothing shall be impossible with God, you know. And so I think I'm gonna hang in that receiving land for a little while longer, because I'm kind of liking this of just letting go of my stuff and just receiving from the Father, because those are the best gifts anyway, right?
Yeah.
The ones that comes from God. So I'm pretty excited about the $75, you know, and that will, you know, put me in a position that I can have more free time to do ministry stuff, because I mean, that's my first love. I love fellowshipping, I love doing ministry stuff, but you know, we have to kind of live too, so
yeah.
Those things have to be taken care of as well. So this will free me up, you know, to do those type of things. So if God is just unlimited with possibilities of what can be and what can happen, and we just can't limit him at all in situations, no matter what it is. We can't limit God. You know, yes, the foot can short or grow out, or the leg, rather. You know, it can grow out, it can shorten, you know. What was that Jesus Christ told to them? Would it have been easier for me to say, take up your bed, or thy sins are forgiven, you know?
Yeah.
You know, with God, it doesn't matter. It's it's all available. So I'm so thankful for the opportunity to spend this time with you guys and fellowship with you and hang out with you. It's wonderful being with believers. So
we're blessed to have you. And just to let you know, Fida, there's Kim's in the room, Jason, Big Al, as well as other people.
Hi, is that a picture of Kim?
Do you like the picture of Kim with her knitting?
Oh, nasty boy.
Are you playing, what is that, London Bridge?
Yeah.
It got tangled. But I just wanted you to know, I got your email, and we're going to Bath tomorrow to check that place out. Me and Leanne, my daughter. So as soon as we've had a look, I will message you.
Hey, great. I did send them an email, and they did send me a price, which I think is very, very reasonable. And I think that will, if it's a nice place, and it works, it may be something that we can just stay there and then transport out of there.
Yeah, I've got the postcode, so we're going to see where in proximity it is to the city center. So
okay.
We're going to go and check it out tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Yeah.
All right, because we decided to go to Bath, because we go different areas on a Friday. I take my mum shopping. So we decided to go to Bath tomorrow because it's going to be a beautiful day and we want to take Maya to the park. So I mentioned it to Leanne and she said, oh, we could just drive through, Mum, and see where it is and if it's close to the city centre and the things that you want to do. And if there's like buses and taxis and coaches and things like that in that area. Because we have a coach station as well in Bath, which have regular trips to Heathrow.
Okay.
Regular trips to Bristol Airport. So I just want to see how close it is to those areas.
Okay. And another thing I thought of, Kim, I'm sorry, I don't want to take from the fellowship, is that we might can rent some vans if we can find some drivers. Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm right.
We can find some drivers, that may be an option as well. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I can drive... what was the van we used to have? How many seats was that, Big Al? Can you remember?
17.
I can drive a 17-seater minibus.
She can drive an articulated lorry, actually.
I can drive an articulated lorry.
Okay, so, yeah, those are some options. So, if that... I just saw the pictures, and I after you said what you said last week, I went and checked on the bed and breakfast, and... the rates are pretty decent for, I think so, anyway. Well, it's cheaper than the other one was, so
okay. We'll see. Well, I'll let you know.
Alrighty then.
Also, obviously, like I said, a 17-seater minibus. We have a 5-seater car, and Amber will be available, and she has a 7-seater car. So, you know, might only be needing one minibus or something. But let me just check out where the... where the bed and breakfast is in location to the area, and I'll message you tomorrow night, or if I don't, Lawrence will.
Yeah, it'd probably be me because she doesn't do social media or anything.
Well, I
that.
Try, yeah. But I'm not as clued up as you are.
You can do all things from Christ which strengthens you, like you tell everybody else.
Yes. You know, I search for things and I end up with porn. What was that thing I was looking at?
Oh, something to do with the dentist. You put oral something.
I put oral surgery or something and I had all this porn shoot across my screen. I'm not that good at searching, so... I'd like to drive and go and see. So I'll message you, either me or Lawrence will message you, either tomorrow or Saturday morning. Okay.
That sounds great.
Okay.
So, Fida, pick away. Who do you want to go next? We got Amy Allen, Anna, David, Kim Hailey, Russell Sr., Jason, Big Al, Kimbo, Sabi.
Lawrence.
Well, my little mouse pointer is on Kim Hailey.
Yeah.
Hailey.
Yeah, that's right. Kim Hailey from Manchester. Or sorry, where is it? Oh, I can't remember now. Got out of my head. You there, Kim?
Yeah, it's actually from London, but never mind. We won't go into that now. I don't really have anything. I'm a bit boring. I've done everything to testify this week, I'm afraid. So I'm going to pass the baton on to Amy Allen.
Yeah, okay. Well, bless your heart, Kim. Amy Allen, are you ready, darling?
Hi!
God bless you.
How is everyone?
We're all great, thank you.
So, I have a testimony, and God's been doing wonders in my life. I left my parents' house when I was 18 years old, and I went off on my own, because that was my choice, and that was not the greatest choice, but it was my choice. And basically what happened is I ended up being on the streets. And then I ended up being homeless, and I ended up going through a lot of things that I shouldn't have. But I did. And God got me out of all of it. He made ways that I didn't think were even possible. And he got me out of everything that I got myself into. And it just amazes me how much he can work. Because without him, I wouldn't be here, you know. Basically, to get off the streets, I had to go work for a carnival. And that, for me, was the hardest thing that I had to do in my life. Because I couldn't go back home. My parents didn't want me home. I had broken that bond. I had burnt that bridge. I really hurt them because I left in such a terrible way. And my parents are really good people. I love them to death, but I let the devil take control of my life. And I hurt my family. I hurt a lot of people that loved me, and I didn't care, you know. It took me about a year and a half to realize that I was the one who did that, and it wasn't anybody else's fault. It was my own, you know. And I kept blaming everybody else, thinking, well, if they wouldn't have been so mean to me, I wouldn't have this problem, you know. But it wasn't them, it was me. And I had let spirits into me that just took over my life and made it awful. God got me out of everything.
Wow, that's great.
He really did. I had turned to using alcohol and drugs for a while, and he didn't let that happen. He didn't let me go down that far. And he made me realize, he's like, what are you doing? Because this is not right. You need to stop. This is not what you're meant to do. This is not how I see things happening in your life. You need to change. And I did. I got out of it, and I changed. And he's just been continuing to heal me. I went to the psychiatrist a year ago, and they diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress disorder. And for me, hearing those words was not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that, oh, you're fine, you don't have anything wrong with you, you don't need to take medication again, you don't have to go through all of that again, and that wasn't the case. But he's working on healing me and getting rid of all that pain. He doesn't want me to have it anymore. So I've just been praying and lifting everything that happens to me every day and telling him that I need to let it go, but you have to help me find a way to forgive people, because I can't do it on my own. I can't let a lot of things go, and it's been weighing me down to hold on to this anger, because I have a lot of it, you know, and it's towards the people who hurt me. Yeah. But then again, he keeps telling me that it's not them. That's not who they actually are. It's the spirits that overtake them and they make them that way. And that's hard for me to realize. And I've just been realizing that it is time to forgive those people, and it's time to move on with my life, because he has better plans for me. I don't have time to just sit here and dwell on everything that happened in the past.
No.
You know? But he's really been working my heart and healing me, and now I'm starting to build relationships back with my parents, and it's amazing because my mom and I haven't had a decent conversation in 6 years. And the other day on my birthday, we actually talked for like an hour.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And we had such a connection again, and it really means a lot to me because I didn't want to hurt her. But I made those choices. And she just does so many good things in my life right now. Because I'm safe and I'm with a family who absolutely loves me. And, you know, we're going to church again and we're doing all the things with him. And it makes such a difference. It really does. Because I've seen some dark things. And, you know, I think he showed me those things for a reason. So I could help other people out. Yeah. You know?
That's awesome.
But, yeah. He does amazing things. He really does.
That's great. Amy, do you know the great thing about forgiveness is that you set yourself free when you forgive others? And,
yeah.
You know, it's a great, if you know, for deliverance in your own heart, when you forgive, you take a great burden off yourself. You know, and God has forgiven us for so much, you know, through his son, Jesus Christ, that, you know, who are we to hold on to stuff? And, you know, and God works with us on those things. And he's a great loving God. He's a great God of restoration. He's restoring. He's, you know, God is a God that is restoring. So he's restoring your relationships for you. You know, this is not going to happen all in one day, but it will be restored. And he's at work as long as you look to him, as long as you go to him and open up your heart and you give him all your cares, your burdens. You roll everything to him and expect him to do the work for you. Don't try and put things right for yourself, but just say, Father, I need you, so I'm giving this to you in your hands, and I trust you, and I thank you that, you know, a great confession is to say, I thank you that you're restoring my relationships. I thank you that you're giving me understanding, that you're giving me direction. And he really is at work in your life, and I'm so blessed that you reached out and that you want to join the Skype Fellowship. And it's great when you share what's going on in your life and you're open and honest, because then, you know, God can minister into your hearts by other people and pray for you. Now we're praying for you, see? So great things are going to happen, even bigger than what they are now, because we'll start praying. You know, and God hears our prayers and he hears your prayers. And, you know, when we're agreeing on what we desire and the deliverance and the light to come in, then God goes to work immediately, because he's a faith God and he needs our faith. He responds to faith, not fear, not worries, not anxieties or doubts, but he responds to your faith. So when you go to him, you go with a great expectation. It says in Hebrews that we can come boldly before his throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. So you can go fearlessly before God and say, Father, I come before you and I thank you that you hear me. And I thank you that you're restoring this relationship and this relationship. And whatever bothers you, you give to him. You roll your burdens upon him and he's going to take care of it very quickly. He will go to work for you and he'll do the work for you as you give it all to him.
Yeah. That's what I've been trying to do, and it's just, sometimes it's hard to let things go. It really is, though.
I understand that, but as you start to see God go to work, you'll realize God will help you to understand that is a great thing to let the things go. And on my website, we got a seminar called Faith and Confession, and it's all about believing God and what we say with our words. It's very important. I encourage you to go and listen to it. There's a video and there's the audios of it, and you can go and listen to it. There's about 12 teachings there, and there's a syllabus if you go to the video section, and it's in the menu. It's called Faith and Confession. And if you go through that and build that word, and you see the word of God needs to be in your mouth, then it comes into your heart and you need to say what God says. And in that class, there's many, it teaches you how to use your words and how to build your heart up with his word, and that, you know, it just really encourage you and change your life as you practice to do that. And I've had many people come back to me and say that they began to practice this faith and this confession, and it's changed their life, and like it's changed my life and is changing my life. And so I would really encourage you to go and listen to that. And there's some other teachings on our website. It's called Do You Feel Rejected? It talks about bitterness and letting go of things. So there's plenty of stuff on the website, teachings that can build your faith and help you in these areas.
Yeah, Okay, I'll definitely look at that.
Bless your heart. I'll send you some links as well in your Facebook message, all right?
Okay.
Lawrence, can I say something?
Yeah, carry on. Go for it.
Amy, I was going through something once, and I there was a couple of things that I asked God to show me, and two of those things was His love and His forgiveness. And he, oh my, you know, ask Him, and He will give to you, right? One of the things too that He showed me about forgiveness is that, you know, sometimes people do hurt us. And we see that we see the person that hurt us, you know, and what makes God's God, and that He is really the justifier, is because He don't just see the hurt maybe someone caused us, but He may see the hurt that person that hurt you went through, and it may be even more magnified than what you have gone through. And that really, it for me, it melted my heart, because it's like, this person may have said something wrong to me, but I don't know what that person themselves has gone through in their life. You know, I think it started to help me have compassion and to see from God's eyes, because He sees everything. You know, we're able to see, I guess, what we're going through at the moment, but all the things the enemy has done to lead up to that place, you know, to get to the point that you know, like you're hurt, maybe hurt now, you know. And He showed me that what the person before me may have gone through was 10 times worse than what I've gone through. And that just helped me to forgive that person even more, because then I start to really realize where all this stuff is coming from. It's an enemy that's trying to part us and separate us, you know, from what it is that God has want us to have and see, because He's love, you know. And that forgiveness, and when we can walk into that, we're so much more freer, you know, because and we start realizing really who it is that's causing all that. It's not the person that we're blaming anyway. It's coming from that person that is the accuser, is the blamer. You know, that was one of the first manifestations that you see in the Bible when Adam and Eve fell, he blamed God and the woman. So, you know, that's one of the characteristics of the evil one, is to blame and to pass blame, you know. But He's the one to be blamed. He's the one, because God is love. And He reveals His love to us. So just ask Him in your quiet moments to show me, you know, that person's heart. Show me your love. Show me your forgiveness. Show me, you know, you think about Jesus Christ. He was nailed to a tree and had done absolutely nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. Yet He asked His Father to forgive them. You know, so and we have that Christ in us, so we can live that way. We can live that way. And He will show you. Just ask Him. He will show you.
Brilliant.
Amen. Wonderful. Okay, Amy, would you like to pick someone else to share from the list?
Russell.
Okay, Russ. Mr. Senior, are you there?
Oh. Hold on.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear, bro.
Okay, thank you, Amy. And I appreciated the heart with which Amy was sharing. And conveying to everyone her heart and what God's been doing for her. So keep it up, girl. Yeah, Shirley and I are sitting here and see if I got this thing. I don't know if I have this phone set up right. Speaker. All right. So it's a lovely day in Idaho. It's probably 71 degrees, which is rather cool. Because usually we have late upper 90s in May. So it's been one strange summer. If Nancy is listening, hey, Nancy, trust you're well. The cat is hiding under the refrigerator. But I've been letting him run. I don't have anything really tremendous to share. We're on our last week. I remember, I don't know if I told you, this RV park extended me another 3 weeks. I met a man last Friday night who was retired, and he knew all about my brakes. Now, I don't know when he's going to get around to it, but he said he would fix these brakes for free. And I think it's maybe just a valve up front. But, of course, I would place it as very important because I can't drive more than 15 miles without the brakes almost ready to catch hop on fire. Meanwhile, I've been, getting other appointments completed. I found a new doctor up here. My daughter, the same night that she took me to see this doctor, my daughter ended up having her appendix taken out about 4 a.m. that following night. She's been in a lot of pain, but she's basically staying home. And just resting, and she said the pain is getting less and less, and it's not something I know very much about. I know Shirley knew something about it, but I'm very blessed for my daughter. What am I trying to say? I think I told somebody I lost a lot of weight when the doctor saw me Wednesday. I had dropped this time from 178, which is low for me, down to 156, which is like me in high school.
Wow.
And I feel fine, but I tell you, I've been eating like a wolf. We baked a pie. I put ice cream on top of it. And I'm wolfing anything down I can stick in my mouth, I guess you could say. I was for about a month not set up with refrigeration. But the lady did extend us 3 weeks. And I got, this is my last week. I really hoping that we'll be able to stay here because there are no other RV parks. I called every last one of them. And with the brakes the way they are, it seems to me rather urgent. So I'm just praying, speaking in tongues, and we know who we are to look to for all sources that our Lord, our Heavenly Father, provides liberally. So maybe times I haven't had my head screwed down right, but just like the young lady spoke, we can go back to Father and receive of him all his goodness, which is constant. It's like the rain. It just never ends. He's raining his love upon each one of us because he just so loves us. So that's about all I can share. I hope that blesses somebody.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bless you, Russ.
Do you want to pass on to someone else? We got Big Al here. We got Jason.
How about Mr. I saw Scott pop up. How about Scott?
Scotty boys, Mr. Scott Shepherd.
Unless you want some time.
Bliss. Hey.
We're here.
And Mom's here too.
God bless you, Nancy and Scott. Love you guys.
I'm looking for a Kindle that's missing. It's probably in my car somewhere. So we're using Scott's this time. How's everybody doing?
Hello. Oh, real good, Nancy.
Okay, I'll just get the money. I'll be okay.
God bless you, Nancy.
We're having a heat wave.
And we are.
Are you having one there?
Yes, it was 24 today, 25, but heading to be 31 on Saturday.
Oh, that's Celsius. Or that's the other one.
That's about 90 degrees.
That's about 90. Yeah, it's been about the same here. You know, we're getting a lot of rain and floods and things like that and stuff around the country. We've had so much rain, though, this spring. It's like a lot of the flowers were kind of gooey at the bottom. They were getting a little rotted. But we've had three beautiful days this week, and hoping that it's going to be even better. If you guys can keep it in prayer, Artie's going in tomorrow for a procedure for a colonoscopy, one of those things you do when you get to be, you know, in your young 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, I won't make some comments because it probably would come across too good. But anyway,
you want to help my mic
poop happens.
That's probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, that's very clever.
Oh, we had a nice testimony here. From Mike DiGiorgio. I don't know, did you get to see it, Lawrence?
He's just had, there's somebody knocking at the door, Nancy. So it'd be 2 seconds. I can hear him coming now.
It's Jesus, hurry up.
Yeah. He's only come back for Lawrence, though, not me. Nancy's okay. Asking, did you
sorry, I'm back
post now. About Mike DiGiorgio?
No.
I'm going to share a testimony from Mike DiGiorgio.
Okay, go for it.
I don't know if you guys got to see it or not. He posted it. But they recently moved, and Mike wanted to get a gift for someone. And I'm just trying to pull it up here so I get it right. But basically what he did, he was calling in. Oh, here it is. Okay, it's really a neat testimony. This was yesterday. He was on the phone trying to buy a gift for somebody to replace something that they had broken. And as he was speaking to the salesperson, she asked how long the individual had the item. And he told him it was 2 years. And she said, oh, that means there's no warranty. So Mike told her not to worry about it. He wanted to purchase another one just to bless this person.
Oh, yeah.
But he could tell when he was talking to her that something was wrong. And so he asked her if anything was wrong, and she said she had a very, very bad headache. For a couple of days. She'd been working in New York, and she's in Stockholm, Sweden. So she was, you know, outsourcing and doing whatever for probably for Amazon. So he asked her about Stockholm and how did she get there and everything, and you know, how he got her instead of somebody in the States. And she said that they must have accidentally switched the call to her office, so they kind of laughed at it. And then he told her, he said, Amanda, do you want prayer? And she said, yes. She said, I pray every morning. I said, I'm a minister. Oh, so Mike said he's a minister. Could he pray for her? And she said, yes. So he prayed for her. She put him on hold. And when she came back, she said, Mr. DiGiorgio, I'll be sending that item to you, but I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
And he said, what did you say? She said, I just put the order in for you, but I'm paying for it. And he asked her why, and she said, my headache had been so bad, and it's gone. It's been hurting for 2 days, and I was going to call out today, but I felt like I had to show up for work. So they shared the blessing, hallelujah, and gave God the glory, and thanked God and Jesus Christ that she was healed instantly. And she went and paid for it. And now he has a new friend and sister in Christ in Stockholm. So he shared it yesterday, was excited about it.
Wow.
But anyway, that's what it's supposed to be like every day, you know? And basically, that's really all the church has to do, is just take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us.
Yes.
So, but anyway, I don't know if Scott wanted to share anything. Okay, he's drinking a Mug's root beer here. So, how's everybody else doing there? Everything's good?
Yeah, we're all blessed, all moving.
Okay, and I saw the post on Sister Standing Strong. The women are going to come over and take over Great Britain.
Yay!
Better careful, guys. We'll leave you in the dust.
Yeah. Have a witnessing day. Get into fellowship.
Oh, it'll be fun. It'll be more than a day. It'll be a great time for you guys. I, who knows? I might show up. You never know.
That'd be amazing.
I'm not a world traveler. April just got home, my granddaughter from Corsica. It took her 3 flights to get there. Lawrence was, I told Lawrence the other day, she had to go to Heathrow Airport from New Jersey or New York. And then she had to go to Marseille. And then from there she went to Corsica. And that was all on Sunday. And then she left, I guess, last night your time, but she got home and it's yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I guess there's 6 hours difference there. So she had 3 flights home too, which she doesn't mind because she goes business class. So she's got a bed and all this good food. Mm. And she got to be on 3 flights, but she had a wonderful time. And, you know, we just speak in tongues for her all the time when she's flying around.
Where did she go, though? What was the name of the...
She went to Corsica, which it's between Italy and France, isn't it?
Yes.
Lawrence?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice place to have a believer's event.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be a tad expensive. I don't know.
It is a little bit expensive, Corsica. But also, France has just had a massive heat wave of like 38 or 40 degrees. Very hot in France right now.
France hot, yeah. They're all complaining about it. You know, of course, if it rains, we complain. If it snows, we complain. But the thing is, when she flies, she goes business class, so she's got a bed. I don't think I'm going to take 3 flights and be up and sitting in a chair trying to get my night's sleep. I'm not that kind of a traveler. Horizontal for me.
Business class is nice,
but it's also expensive. Company pays it. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's been having a good time, and everything here is going along. You know, people are just doing whatever they can do. A lot of darkness starting to show up even more so, but we just focus on God and His Word, and that's it.
That's it, mate.
But the Word is moving.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the good thing. People that are in areas of the world that have never had access to or being accessed, and they're hearing the Word, and that's the good thing. So we just prepare for that blessed hope in the day of the return, which I think most of us are ready anytime.
Amen, sister.
So who didn't get to share?
Right, so there's David, there's Anna, there's Kim, there's Jason, and there's Big Al.
Oh, when I said Al before, that was a joke that we have in this country. It's a thanks, Al. Yeah, I was saying that to Russell. No pun intended, Al. So why don't we hear from Al then? Let's hear from Al.
Come on, Big Al.
Well, I haven't been around, as many of you know, for a little bit. I've been caught up. Been caught up in the worldly ways. And for the past 3 weeks, I'll be brutally honest, I've not been myself. Been in and out of hospital with anxiety attacks, palpitations, and various other things. And it came to a point a couple of days ago where I said to myself, enough's enough, I'm fed up feeling like this. If you're out there, God, show me a sign. So I'm out and about today, and I bump into Lawrence.
Biggest sight of all.
And we met up, we had a coffee, we got talking, and before I met Lawrence, I felt so uptight, so anxious, on edge, and as soon as I sat down and had coffee with Lawrence and we were talking, I felt at peace, and I was like, why the hell did I walk away from it? And this one thought come to mind, like, you could walk a million miles away from God and it takes one step, one thought to come back.
Amen.
Amen.
It's brought back, like, all these scriptures come flooding back to my head. And I want to look at Proverbs chapter 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in always acknowledge him and he shall direct my paths. And it was only the other day I was saying, oh, I feel so lost, I don't know, like, where I belong anymore. And if that's not a sign from God, what is?
God bring it back to remembrance.
Yeah.
And then Big Al then spent the rest of the day with me, didn't you?
Yeah. And I've been blessed. I've not had none of this anxiety, none of this palpitation, no pain in my chest, nothing.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, God certainly don't want you like that, Big Al. You've got a lot to give, mate. You're a great guy, absolutely great guy. Al's been with us for, oh my goodness.
Back.
15 years?
Early 2000s, at least.
You was 14 when you come here, I think.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
I am 28 now.
And he's 28, so that's 14 years.
Yeah. Al was one of the youth that used to...
wreck the house.
Yeah.
Troublemaker.
That's why we had the minibus, Vida, because I used to go around picking them all up and... bring them up, because obviously we live in a little village on the outskirts of Bristol, and it was very hard for some of the kids to get to us, so God blessed us with a minibus, and it used to be full of these 11, 12, 13, 14 year olds, and you know, once they put the word in their hearts, it never ever leaves them. So a few of them have drifted away, a few we see quite regularly, but God always, they always know where to come when they want to be built up, and God brings it back to their remembrance. So it's a real blessing to see Big Al here tonight.
Yeah,
it's a blessing to be here.
And he, you know, and he made the effort to get here as well, because I said to him,
no minibus tonight.
I said, I'm not picking you up and I'm not taking you home, so if you want to come, you've got to make your way there and your way back.
Yeah, he's a big boy now.
Yeah. And he's so he's made his way, and it's good to do that principle, you know, because sometimes we can do all the running for people, and in the end they become dependent upon you rather than dependent upon God and looking to him to provide their needs. And each one of us need to really be dependent upon God and to go to him. And even though we got people that can encourage us with the word and to build us up, we're not directors of people's lives, but we're encouragers of people's faith. And that, you know, what God puts in our hearts to speak forth, it's up to them. If they receive that word like the word of God, then they're going to be really blessed and built up and edified, and, you know, and they're directed to go to God. So no matter what situation they're in, they know that they can go to God first and foremost and believe him and let him work in the situation. So, if you know, God just put it in my heart today. I had no particular reason to go out. And then Kim rung me And she said, oh, I got to pop up Kingswood. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm stuck in the house.
I wanted you to get that little carpet.
Yeah. So I said, all right, I'll come up and meet you. So when Kim had the work van and I drove up in our car, and then I met her and we done what we had to do. And I said, oh, I feel like I'm going to stay up here. I might get my hair cut. And with that, I thought, no, I'm not going to get my hair cut just yet. I'm going to go and have a coffee. And then before I even got to the coffee shop, I had this tap on my shoulder and I looked round and it was Al. And so I just started to share with him, and I could see he was a little bit down. And it just, I said, let's have a coffee. And he said, oh, let me buy you the coffee. If you want to, okay, thank you very much. And then God just put it in my heart to share with him, just encourage him. You know, I didn't say you should come back to fellowship, none of that stuff. My heart was just to direct him to look to God, to believe God for his need in his situation, and just to, you know, build him up. And so God gives us those perfect words in those perfect times. And so when, I've really learned to not do things in my own ability, you know, because I know scripture, I know certain ways to do things. But, just this last year, I've been practicing not to do anything in my own strength, but just to practice, to rest in his strength, not my strength. And the more I'm doing this, the more I'm seeing, the more I don't plan to do anything, that I go to him and allow him to lead me, then the door's open for me to do his bidding, you know, to minister to other people's hearts. And there's quite many people I do minister to and share, and it's just great how God opens those doors. And I know it's nothing coming from me, but it's what he wants me to do. Because I think for many years, you know, I would pray to God, right, this is what I want to do, God. And then I'll go about doing those things.
Doing it.
Rather than be spirit-led. To be spirit-led is to go to God and say, okay, Father, this is what's in my heart, but what do you want me to do? You know, you lead me, you guide me, you open those doors, and then just go about my daily business. And that's what I've been doing. And I find the more I do that, the more I relax back in that mindset, just, you know, depending upon him, then he's beginning to open those doors. And, you know, I'm just getting very blessed, encouraged, learning to walk with God more closely and more totally dependent, becoming more totally dependent upon him rather than me trying to get things moving. Because God is the one that gets things moving when we go to him and allow him to inspire us with his thoughts, his ideas, and just going with those things. And the more we do that, the more God can really go to work. So it's just really getting out of God's way, but staying in that close relationship with him and say, okay, Father, you know, this is my desire, but I want to do what you want me to do. I give you my desires, I ask, and, you know, I expect to receive. And my expectations on God, not on me or anybody else. So, yeah, it was just a really great day learning that, just walking step by step with God and just being God dependent. And, you know, I'm blessed. I was sharing with Big Al, you can get to that point where no matter what's going on, or who's about or who's not about, or who's not about, or if your circumstances are bad, you can be blessed every day when you get up and you start to say what God says about you. You start to say who you are in Christ. And so this, you know, the word is in our mouth, then it's in our heart. That's why we need to say what God says. And the more it gets into our heart, the more it becomes a part of us. And the emotion of that word is living and real within us. You know, because a lot of people can confess the word, but their heart's empty. It's not, the emotions ain't in line. And we're body, soul, and spirit. So those emotions have to be in line with what we're believing. If I'm saying, yeah, you know, I'm blessed and I'm prosperous and I'm healed and I'm healthy, but inside I'm churning, it's not lined up, you know. And so it's just learning to build up that relationship with God and to really mean what I say and say what I mean. And the more I've been confessing what God says, rather than what my circumstances, and I've been doing this every single day, my faith is hot. And so I don't have to have people around me to encourage me on my daily basis. Like when I was a younger believer, I would have to ring this believer, ring that believer, do you want a bit of fellowship, do you want to do this, you know, to keep my faith up. I can keep my faith with God because I'm in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing that God's been teaching me more and more and more, And then, you know, hearing what Amy Allen was sharing, you know, that God is a God of restoration, and he is really restoring things. And with the wonderful testimonies from Amy about the legs growing out, you know, I got some great testimonies about legs growing out. It even got to a point when someone's leg was short on the other, even before I got to minister, I'd just go and stand next to him, the leg would shoot out. And that happened to Cristobal, a wonderful believer from Spain, and it was just amazing. And we was with what was her name, David and Asun.
Yeah,
we visited them, and Cristobal and his wife come down to see David and Asun and to see us. And this guy was in a terrible car wreck, and he would walk with a big limp, and he had pain in his back. And then I didn't really recognize it, because I always knew him like that. But when I started to learn about the legs growing out, I just said to him, you know, God can heal that. And I said, put your legs up on the stool. And I was on the other side of the room, what I love.
Yeah.
And I got up, walked over to him, and before I could do anything, the leg just grew straight out. And he was just so blessed. I was shocked, because I didn't even minister or say anything. So it was just really wonderful. And that happened on a couple of occasions. Like, we should expect these things. You know, it should be a part of our normal day living. And because, you know, we're in relationship with him, we know who we are, we know that Satan has no authority in our lives whatsoever, he has no jurisdiction, and that we have the Spirit of the living God in us, and we are like Christ, as Christ is, so are we in this world, so we can do what he done, you know. And to the point that I hear Brendan McNally was sharing in a wonderful sharing that he done, that this guy was, you know, riding down the road and stuff like this, but, you know, saying he wants to kill people, and Brendan just went out and said, hey, you come back. And this guy came back, and he got a lot of deliverance. So God can bring you people. We need to expect God to bring people that need the deliverance, that we can minister the power of God to them. So I'm just excited every day. I'm blessed. I'm not letting my circumstances or people or situations bother me any way, shape or form, because my eyes are set right on him. So I don't worry about what's going on around me, but I pray about the certain things. And my daughter Leanne, she had a situation come up within her side of the family, her husband's side, and it wasn't quite a nice situation because people were falling out. But I just got to share things with her, and that inspired Leanne to write this big message to her sister-in-law. And the message was so beautiful that even the sister-in-law that wasn't quite happy with her, with Leanne's husband, which is her brother, wrote a message back, and they just sorted the situation out so sweetly. So, you know, we can just really encourage people with our words and not take their negatives on. Like, I didn't take Leanne's negatives on, but I just fed her back with positives and what God was working. And she said to me, thanks, Dad, ever so much for taking that time with me. And that was about 12 o'clock last night through WhatsApps. She was messaging me back and forth. So God is doing lots of little things in our area and our situations and the people we minister to. It's been quite a busy week. We just got the carpet to lay down now. Kim's going to do the carpet because she's got to be done Kim's way. But she's done a really good job here. And, you know, I can do the things, but she does it better. And she says, no, I'll do it, love. So I don't get in her way. But she's done a fantastic job, and she's serving that way because she wants to bless people when they come. And like I say, we got Sangate and Beatrice there coming over. Then we got Pedro and Anna, which we're really looking forward to having, and we're so excited about them coming. And so God's got some great things in store for us, and, you know, we're the one body of Christ. And so that's what I just wanted to share right now, but I'd like to ask him to share next.
So it's been a great week. As Lawrence said, we've been practicing. It's actually a real blessing that Lawrence is here with us tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Because he forgot our 30th wedding anniversary. And as you can see, he's still breathing. But I made him pay big time. So on Sunday, we've been married 30 years. Been together, I think, 33 years, something like that. And we went out and we had a lovely Sunday lunch, and he was just sharing with me about, because Lawrence always has something to say, But
I need to keep her on track, you see.
He was just sharing about how he was really not letting negatives come on board and how he was keeping it at bay, and any situations that come up, he was keeping it positive. And it has a big impact, actually, when you do respond like that, because the world just wants to bombard you with the negatives. And if you take those negatives on board, then it's going to bring you down. And as Lawrence said, it brings your faith down. So we've been practicing this for quite a few weeks now. And but it's very hard for me, because sometimes I want to share something and he says, no, don't want to hear the negatives. But one good testimony I've got is on Tuesday, I think I told you guys that my fridge freezer had packed up. The freezer wasn't actually freezing the food anymore. And in fact, if you remember, Big Al, we got that freezer when you were what, 15, 16?
So it's lasted
all those years. And it was, I think it was a neighbour of yours just a few doors up, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got the app around your house. Yeah.
yeah, and you helped us put it in
That's
the car.
That's a long time, yeah.
Yeah, it was an American fridge freezer, and it served us. It was secondhand, and it served us well. But it was at its end of its life, and I was just passing comment. I think Danny and Amber came up one day, and they decided that they wanted to bless us with a fridge freezer. Well, it actually turned up on Tuesday, and it was a whole sort of like roll of blessings in one. So I was told I could choose anyone I wanted, and I chose one fridge freezer, and I offered to pay some money towards it because I thought it was quite expensive. And Danny and Amber said, no, we're taking care of it. This is a gift from us. So it was a real blessing. Anyway, the fridge freezer turned up on Tuesday, and the guys that delivered it, they needed to unpack it and check it before they drove away. So as they've, I was already left for work, so I left it to Lawrence, and he rang me up and he said, love, there's a small little dent, a little scratch on it. He said, but it's against where the cooker's going to go. You can't really see it. He said, and the guy wants to know what you want to do about it. And they've offered to take 25% off for this mark. So do you want to go with it? He said, once it goes in its spot, you're not going to see it. It's on the side.
You can't even see it if it wasn't in its spot.
No. So I said, well, yeah, take the 25%. So anyway, the original price in one shot was £1,000. Amber found it exactly the same fridge freezer in another shop for £600, and then with the 25% off, I think we've paid, well, not us personally, but Danny and Amber paid about £400. So it has arrived, it's in place, it looks absolutely stunning. So you know, there are ways that God can bless us in ways that we don't even can comprehend at times, like this 25% off for this little dent that you can't even see. So that's now in place, and I am really blessed with it. It is beautiful.
And that other fridge freezer we got round by Big Al's was secondhand, wasn't it?
I just said that, if you listen.
I didn't.
But
to the toilet.
Then, because with me, I store too much in the freezer, and that's what like was stopping it from working properly. So anyway, the fridge freezer's in the house, and Becky Jadzi rings up. And she says, what are you doing with your fridge freezer? Because Amber's told me that you've got a new one coming. And I said, well, we were just going to get it taken to the tip. Oh, no, please don't do that. She said, I want it. And I said, well, the fridge works perfect. But the freezer, as long as you don't put anything in the door and you don't put anything on the top shelf, it works. Anyway, Amber came up on Tuesday, and they put the fridge freezer in the back of her car, and she took it to Becky Jance's, and they've plugged it in, and now it's all defrosted because obviously we had it switched off for 12 hours. The fridge freezer's working. So what a blessing. So now that's gone on and blessed somebody else as well. So, you know, what is it they say? What rich, a poor man's something is
treasure.
A rich,
One man's junk is another man's treasure.
There you go. One man's junk is another man's treasure. So there you go. So it's actually gone on to bless someone else now. So, and then one more testimony was, I've told you about my friend who's had the baby and her name is Hope. Well, I actually had a phone call at work 2 days ago from her, and she was crying on the phone that the dad had actually walked out and left them. And I said to her, just give me 10 minutes and I will ring you back when I get in the van. So I rang her back and I just spoke with her, and I listened to her at first, and she pouring her heart out, saying that he couldn't cope with the baby crying at night, and you know, and it was real sad. But anyway, I said to her, look, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I believe he will be back. I said, so don't have worries, don't have fears, and don't have doubts. So anyway, I turned up there today because I go there on a Thursday. And guess who opens the door? The dad. And as I walked in, she looked at me and she put her thumbs up and like made a little gesture that she'll ring me later. And just before I came home from work, she rang me to say that he apologized. He just wasn't getting any sleep, and he didn't think that he could cope. She said, but I had to cope. And I said to her, you know, sometimes we just give people space, just love them. I said, and you've got a great little family. That baby is absolutely beautiful. And every time I see her, just because she named it Hope. What a name. The little girl's name is Hope, and she is adorable. And I'm so, so thankful to God, because he really did change this girl's life. From being a heroin addict, getting pregnant, you know, and now having this beautiful little baby, and her name is Hope. I share the word with her, I pray with her. She now has my mobile number. Don't know if that's a good thing, but anyway. It's just amazing the situations that God's put me in this little job, and I really do enjoy it, I really do love it, and the people that I come in contact with, you know, it's, you get a lot of elderly people that don't want to be here anymore, you know, and it sort of really hurts my heart. People have their problems, and you do get attached to these people, and it can get, you can take it all on board, and it can affect you physically, mentally. But through what Lawrence's been sharing about keeping positive, not letting the negatives get to you, it's really had an impact on my life this week. So that's what I wanted to share. So thank you. And I am going to hand it over to Jason. Let's keep it in the Tor household right now.
Yeah, that's really neat, because I was just saying to God, can I go next? Hello, God bless everyone. Oh, excellent. God is so excellent, isn't he? I know I missed all of you last week. The bus service was a bit lousy last week. But it's been an interesting time. We know we've got an enemy. He proves it every day, doesn't he? And then, well, Father's been showing me some stuff this week, and even up to today. And listening to everything everyone's shared tonight is fantastic. And Amy Allen, that really blessed me, what you shared, because the stuff God was showing my heart as well. I can't remember who said what things, mate, but some of the things. And it was already in my heart what to kind of share that he's been showing me before I heard anything tonight. So I happened to get chatting to somebody earlier on, and I can't say who, because I don't know if I've got permission or not, but as we were talking, wonderful guy, wonderful heart, a believer, and you know, he's seeing what the world can do when a believer is just out there on their own in the world, and how it can rip a person to pieces from the inside out. I'm not surprised when people go under. I'm not surprised at all. and where you know, just the thing is, the enemy wants us to play the blame game. He wants us to look at everybody else as the enemy, and it's difficult, really difficult at times, to see that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, and it's not the people. It's what's behind what's going on, and a lot of the time, the majority of cases, the people we're looking at in that way, we may be looking at in that way, don't realize themselves what's going on spiritually. And which is why we're in a battle every day of our lives. We were born into this battle, we didn't ask for it, but thank God that we know God and we know Jesus Christ that can pull us up when we need pulling up. I know just this week, it's been a constant battle. One morning I woke up suddenly and I'm wrestling with thoughts and thinking, get out, don't want you, didn't ask for you to be there. And you know, one morning specifically, it's weird, a song kept going through my mind over and over and over again. I haven't listened to for a long, long time. To be honest with you, I don't really follow anything but what we do here.
Yeah.
Yet this song kept bugging me, and I do like the song. So I thought, right, YouTube. And it's a lady called Jen Johnson. I've never met her, but I'm sure to meet her would be an amazing thing. And she sang In Your Presence. I love your presence. And it kept going through my mind. I love your presence. Talking about being in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I realized, whereas I've been bombarded really, to be perfectly truthful with you, and I know the enemy wanted to separate me from the believers. He wants to separate all of us from each other, okay? Because if he can isolate one believer, it's isolation, separation, and control. He gets you away, he isolates you so you're on your own, you're separated, then he's got control of your life. And it's up to us if we allow that to happen, or if we take a stand and say, no, I know where I'm supposed to be, and that's that. Well, the thing, this song really blessed me, because the words in the song, I didn't remember the words of the song. I didn't know some of them actually, but in your glory, I find rest for my soul. In the depths of your love, I find peace.
Yeah, beautiful song.
Absolutely incredible words. It's biblical. It's from the Word of God. And I'm thinking, that's exactly it. Enter into his rest. And when Well, the thing was, I was just about to hang some hooks up on the door, put some towels up in my bathroom. I had some running around to do that day, but it kept niggling me this song, and I thought, I've got to go and play that song before I do this. Or play it while I'm doing it. You know, the song started playing, and I went into the bathroom to put these hooks up, and I got as far as putting hooks down again, and I was just gone. Just inside. You know when God touches you, when he touches your life. We've all had this. And you know, when pressure builds up inside a person, you know when we cry, it's pressure being released. It's releasing the pressure. And God and Jesus Christ, they are experts at releasing pressure from their children's lives.
That's right.
Anyone's lives, even people that aren't their children, they still desire to release the pressure out of their lives. Because the God of this world, he puts pressure. He lures us in with pleasures like alcohol, or like gambling, or like something that looks great and feels great at the time, but you realize it's not when you're in it. And it sucks. It really sucks. And it sucks the life out of you, the insides out of you. But chatting to this person earlier, they were describing things that have been going on and stuff, and I know this person's a believer. I know that this person's a child of God, and they don't belong out there in the world. And I know what it's like out there in the world. I know what it's like for a believer who stands, let alone for a believer who doesn't stand, who isn't standing fully with the body of Christ. And it suddenly occurred to me, and I just said to the person, you know, it's like in an ocean. You're on a boat. You can either stay on the boat where there's safety, or you jump in the water and there's sharks in there waiting to eat something, the next bit of flesh that comes along, like, you know. And they'll either pick up the scent of the blood, the fresh blood, the fresh flesh, or they'll pick up on the vibrations that are flapping in the water, and they'll zoom in on it, they'll home in on it. And, you know, it's almost like crocodiles in a river. They all jump on the prey, and they do all sorts of maneuvers to rip the flesh apart of this prey. And I never thought of it in this way before, but that's exactly how the devil spirit realm works.
Yeah.
Or demons, whatever you want to call those stupid things. They're under our feet. They are under our feet. We are children of the living God and brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus Christ in heaven. We didn't have to earn that. If Jesus Christ has conquered death and hell, the worst ones of all, then he's conquered all of them. And you bet your life, when we put our faith and trust in him and we're standing together as a body, iron sharpens iron, this believer said to me earlier. I said, you see, God showed you that. I didn't tell you that. That's God working in the person. And it's for encouragement, because God is a God of encouragement. And like Lawrence said earlier, restoration. He restores us to where we should be. And it only takes one step to come back, like Al shared earlier. One thought, one step to come back to God. You can walk. And this has been on my mind this week as well. You can go as far away from God as you want. He's still with you. Even if you're in the darkest pits, he's still with you. But he doesn't want you in the darkest pits. But he's with you, ready to catch you. For when you say, Father, help. Abba, Daddy. Peter walked on the water and he started to sink. And he got afraid. He said, Lord, help me. What did Jesus Christ do? He reached down and grabbed his hand and pulled him back up again. Think about your life. Think about who you are and where you are. Have you fallen in the water? Have you stepped off the boat into the water? Are there sharks? Are you trusting in the Lord? Have you got the strong faith that you can walk on that water? Are you going to go under? But there's a ship, and we can stay in the safety of the ship, and the captain of the ship is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And he's got officers, which are gift ministers. And those gift ministers are there for a reason, and they're helping to steer that ship, following the orders of the captain. And the captain answers to the top governor. He's God. He's Almighty God. And I know God's been showing me for a long time. Vida shared earlier how God is teaching her how to receive. And it's fantastic, because God had to teach me the same things over the years, and he's still teaching me to this day. And it's quite easy to get into the mindset of, oh, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? But really, God wants us blessed. He wants us in the best place. And he's, you know, keep his words, because they're not grievous, they're not irksome for us, they won't hurt us. God is not going to bash us right in the head because we just did something wrong, because we just blundered big time. He's going to say, don't worry, get back up. I still love you, you're still my child. You don't stop being my child. And it's funny, because I had a couple of open doors this week, one right after the other. I was on the street cleaning some windows, and I think I shared this before, a guy that goes to a church, he's a Christian, he's a son of missionaries. He fell into heroin, went the wrong way, and then came back. And he moved into a nice house, and it's the best. He's so blessed, and he's praising God for it. And I thought, that's amazing. And he's come from a church in Bristol. People are starting to catch on in Bristol. It's good. It's great, because I know God's placed another believer not far from where I live as well. And this guy was limping. And I thought, what's he limping for? I'd gone back to his house this month, the second time. And I thought, what is he limping? I said, well, what have you done? And he said, oh, I had to have replacement hips years ago, because I can't remember what he said. And sometimes he gets a lot of pain with it. But he's being prayed for and things. So I thought, okay. I bet they're not ministering, commanding, but I didn't say it, obviously. But we know as believers what we're capable of in Christ Jesus. So I'm trying to chat to him, and as we're chatting, an older guy's walking up the road, white haired guy, and he's struggling. And he catches my eye a couple of times, and then he's leaning on the wall, struggling even more. And as I watched, he was finding it hard to breathe, so I had to stop. I said, "Are you all right, buddy?" He said, "No, I'm not. I've got cancer." I thought, oh my gosh. So the focus of attention was on him next. And Andy, the believer I was talking to, he was in and out doing a couple of things anyway. I think this guy heard me sharing some things with Andy, and so I started to chat to him. Just started to chat and bless him, and, you know, what kind of cancer is it? Where is it? He's had it. He's 69 years old, and had it this time, that time. I said, "Okay, did you pray?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I used to be a born again Christian." I thought, "Used to be?" So I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, let me tell you something. If you used to be a born-again Christian, then you still are a born-again Christian." I said, "Because once you're a child of God, you're a child of God forever." I said, "That doesn't change." And he said about he got healed years and years ago at a church for something. And he named the guy, I've never heard the name, but the guy's passed away or something. And then he's describing it to me. I said to him, "So what was it like?" He said, "It scared me." I thought, "What? How can healing scare you?" And then he described it. He said, "The guy did this and did that, and I fell on the ground." I thought, "No wonder you got scared." What a lot of Christians in the churches around Bristol call this is going down.
Slain in the spirit.
It's basically being slain in the spirit. It's being called something different, modernized, a more modern way of saying it, so that it doesn't carry the same effect with people, so it can convert people in more, basically. It's Satan's schemes, and I can't stand it. But when I realized, I said, "You went down, you were slain in the spirit." I said, "There's nowhere in the Bible when Jesus Christ ministered healings to people where that happens." So, nowhere at all. He said, one half of his clothing was wet, the other was dry. I thought, "That's wrong. That's wrong, man." And I just explained to him from the scriptures. Then I offered him to minister healing. He said, "Yes, please."
Good.
So I did. I gave thanks to God first. I claimed the blood of Jesus Christ through him. And he felt a tingling going on.
That's great.
And then just went and commanded it out. And then he went on his way, and I turned back to Andy. I was thinking maybe coming back when you're not so busy. He was on his way out to pick his son up. He said, "Yeah, bit of the same." I said, "I was just going to offer to pray for you or something." He said, "Yeah, please do." I said, "What now?" He said, "Yeah." So straight outside his door. So it was one after the other. I thought, "Okay, Lord, you're doing something. I know you are." Because that's two people from a church. There's another lady I got chatting to. She's got big faith. She's a churchgoer, Jamaican churchgoer lady. And she had to have an operation or something, and the doctor said, "We're going to have to operate." She said, "No, you're not." She said, "Jesus is going to operate on me, and I'm going to be healed." And that's exactly what happened. She got healed by the name of Jesus Christ. The doctor was blown away. Yeah. So, it's really great. And I just feel like encouraging right now. If you're tempted in any way to split from the body of Christ, to split off in your own direction, listen, the forgiveness is a great thing. Look at how many people Jesus Christ forgave when they pinned him up to a piece of wood. They've done a lot of atrocious things to him, and he took it all so we don't have to. And he said, "Forgive them, Father, because they're blind. They don't know what they're doing. They're blinded." So he forgave everybody who ever did anything wrong to him. And so if he's my Lord, I'm going to do the same. And I know I'm set free as soon as I do that. And it's a great thing. It's a very great thing. So, my encouragement to anybody is keep going. And,
that's great, Jace. Thank you.
That's pretty much it from me for now, anyway.
David or Anna?
Forever. I think I better ask Anna, my sister, my wonderful sister, Butchball, would you like to share next, please?
Hi, Jackson, thank you. Hi, everybody. I'll be really fast. I'm so blessed to hear all the sharings and to realize how loving and graceful, gracious we can all be, just like God is to us and teach us and he exhorted us to be. We can come to this family and be edified and exhorted to keep going, and knowing that we can trust in God and we can open our hearts and no one will judge us but will love us and tell us what we need to hear. And I'm really blessed to know that we are like that, and this way believers and other people will come to this fellowship because they know they are going to be loved and they are going to be helped, because God is gracious and really patient with us, and he is always ready with an open arms waiting for us to be ready and to give the first step to trust him and to go in his direction. He's always ready to bless us, to heal us. And I'm really, really, I'm not emotional, I'm not that kind, but I'm so pleased and so full of joy to hear what I have heard this night, and a great welcome to Amy Alam and Behel. It's really nice and really good to hear you guys, and you know you can always be here online and knowing that everybody's gonna love you.
Yeah.
So have a great night all, and I pass to David.
Okay.
David!
Hello!
Bless
you! God bless you, brother.
God bless you. I'll be short too. Marcel is here. I'll share a little bit about something that she was really blessed. She doesn't speak English, so and I've been trying to translate some of the things that were shared. So thank you for all the sharing. And Marcela, for example, had a great blessing. Her son is an 8-year-old boy coming from Colombia, traveling alone, the first time she abundantly shared here in Spain, that day she got a ticket for 500 and something euros, which is unbelievable, because at this time of the year it's high season, so tickets to Colombia, international or intercontinental flights like that are not at that price.
Yeah. Wow.
And,
I've traveled to Colombia in the winter for even higher than that at a good price. So that was really something that blessed her, and she's having everything ready to receive her son. And of course, there's a lot of little things with this move to Madrid. For those that love the weather fans in this fellowship, it's over 11 o'clock in the evening, and we are almost in the 40 centigrades.
Wow.
And so it is really something here in Madrid. I knew that Madrid in the summer is really high, but it looks like it's going to be big this weekend. So prayers are welcome for this too, especially with the older people, and there's some older believers.
Yeah.
And I speak for with my mom. She with the heat, she does not do really well, and people get tired very quickly. So we can pray for that. Yeah. And I also wanted to encourage the speaking in tongues, which is our great thing to do in our administration. Sometimes we talk about miracles. I know there's especially those miracles, somebody that was blind gets to see, somebody that gets a piece of bone in their body, etc. But when we help people speak in tongues and get born again, we are giving them eternal life. Everybody here in this Skype fellowship has that ability. We God put that ability in us. And about the sharing of Amy Hullum, I might not be saying the last name well. I'd like just to say that sometimes when we speak in tongues or sing in tongues, we get a load of things out of us. It's like a release. When we go out and scream in tongues or sing, we are on our own, on a mountain, at the beach. So I would encourage any, it's for everybody. Yeah. It's for me, I do it all the time. It's for all of us. But there's a lot of things in life that we don't even need to figure out what they are, that they might be bugging us, or might be something that is bugging us. And the speaking in tongues, the singing in tongues, is one of the things that God has to make that restoration that Lawrence also scriptures, and I can't be long. I know that this is going it's getting too long. But if you look at the scriptures in Mark, Jesus Christ talked about it. Paul always talked about it. Peter talked and was inspired. When I say talk, they were inspired by God to encourage people to speak in tongues. Yes, Jesus Christ did it. He talked, he mentioned speaking in tongues. He said, new tongues, it's new for us. The ones that speak, it's a new, they will speak new languages. These languages are new for us because we have never done something that we don't know. And this is really fun. There's so many things that I would love to share about singing and speaking in tongues. Maybe one of these days I'll get the opportunity to share for you, because this is a wonderful thing that God has done for, and the Christian church is not giving it the proper credit. I was in a church the other day with Marcel. We don't do it oftenly, but we were at the church, and this person, he's a pastor, is with a lot of people in the church, and he's kind of going down on speaking in tongues. I almost stood up and left, but I decided to stay a little longer, and I told Marcella, you know why he's going down on speaking in tongues? Because he does not do it. And then I proved it. At the end of the meeting, I went there, I talked with him, I told him a few things, and I said, do you speak in tongues? And he goes, no, my wife does it, and stuff like that. and this is such a huge thing, and the Christian world has not tapped into it. And some of us, sometimes as believers that know the word better, we sometimes kind of, it's the normalcy. We are getting in the miracle realm when we start speaking in tongues. Yeah. We are speaking languages of men or of angels. We are doing something that is miraculous.
Yeah.
We're doing something that it's just impossible. Oh, you start speaking in a language that you don't know, and then we can have that variety of or that family, these genos in Corinthians, that family of tongues. Just to finish, one of my nieces, that she's really into speaking in tongues, and I have to say that this is something not to be done, but she decided to, she was sharing with a friend, I believe she probably was inspired, but to do, because that's not normal too, but she went on Google Voice Translator and she starts speaking it in tongues, and then the words are there, words that are magnifying God, words that were worshiping God, words that were encouraging, and she kept speaking in tongues with that Google Translator with voice. I don't know if you know that, how to use it, but of course we don't encourage people to now start speaking in tongues to Google Translator. She somehow did that to a friend that she wanted to, you know, they're teenagers and they start doing these things. I believe that she might have been inspired to do something like that, but definitely not to be encouraged. Because when I shared this to Marcella, she said that one day she tried to do it too, and nothing came out. So I would never encourage something like that to do. But I encourage this singing and speaking in tongues like a house of fire, because there's a release in our lives of lots of things that might be bothering us, that might be spiritual. It doesn't matter. God doesn't want us to figure all that out. And also so many good things to people that even prayer partners, people that start singing and speaking in tongues on a regular basis as prayer partners. And Paul had that. If you go to the epistles, you see those companions that he had for to fight with prayer, and that unity that comes when people speak in tongues together is a wonderful thing. So I just wanted to share some of these things about speaking in tongues. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a great night.
Thank you, David.
I believe somebody is there. Somebody that has not shared.
Chrissy, did you have anything to share? And then it's going to be Pedro to teach.
All right, love you guys.
Thank you, David. Bless your heart, brother. Wonderful, Sharon. Thank you, Chrissy. I can see your mic's unmuted, but we can't hear you. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, God bless you, darling.
God bless you. I'm going to pass sharing.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bless your heart. Good to hear your voice, though, love. Thank you for joining again.
My pleasure. Thank you.